Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We're spending this hour talking about immigration policy, and listeners, I want you to know that we are waiting for a call from Representative Catherine Clark, who is actually, as we speak, touring a detention facility in Florida. She's going to call us as soon as she comes out, and we'll talk with her about what she saw there today. But in the meantime, we'd like to spend a little more time on DACA. We just heard just now from Ms. Stephanie Pineda, who is currently enrolled in the DACA program. The Supreme Court announced last week that it'll hear arguments on three combined DACA cases next term, with a ruling expected just about a year from now. With us to break it all down is retired federal judge Nancy Gertner. She's a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Judge Gertner.
Good to be part.
Thanks. Thanks for coming. Also with us is WBUR reporter Shannon Dooling. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Hi there. Listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Give us a call. Do you support the DACA program? Are you a part of the DACA program? Do you trust the Supreme Court to rule fairly on this issue? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Shannon, let's start with some background. You've been covering immigration for a few years. Explain how the DACA program ended up at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's been a circuitous route. In 2017, President Trump announced the end of DACA. His administration says President Obama overstepped his legal authority when he created the program in 2012 through an executive order. You might remember a handful of conservative state attorneys general threatened to sue the federal government if Trump didn't end DACA. So he announced the end of the program in September 2017.
So, Shannon, I'm sorry to interrupt
you, okay.
But we actually have Representative Clark on the line.
Great.
So we're just going to take a minute to go to her.
Sounds great.
We'll come back and pick up on the history of the DACA case and how it got to the court. Congresswoman Clark, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
We appreciate it. You've just come out of your Homestead detention facility tour. What did you see there?
So many more questions raised than answered. We saw facilities. We saw children. This is a very prison-like facility in that the beds are all neatly made. The children keep a strict schedule. They have 15 minutes for a meal, and they have curfews and discipline. They walk in single file as they crisscross the campus. I would say they are well cared for. The staff we met with seemed very well intentioned, but there were no spontaneous moments. This was a well-curated tour. And one of my concerns coming out of this, and today as we hear from the Inspector General report on conditions at the border when these children are in custody of CBP, is that the doctors here report that they are seeing children who are medically evaluated within 12 hours of arrival are coming in with increased cases of strep throat, of influenza, of infections. And that is a noticeable change. So we continue to be extremely concerned about the care these children are receiving as migrants, as children coming to this country, and that they are part of a system that is very, very broken.
Congresswoman, I'd love to just give our listeners just a quick context here, which is that the Homestead Detention Center in Florida is the only shelter for migrant children crossing the border that's run by a private for-profit company, and it has been a focus of controversy over both living conditions and overcrowding. Is that why you chose to visit it?
That's right. It is also the largest influx center, which is the place where children come when there isn't room for them, and we are trying to move them out of Border Patrol detention.
And were you able to speak with any of the children there today, Congresswoman?
We were briefly able to speak with some of the children. Every child I spoke with reported that they had a relative here that they knew how to contact, and yet we are still, this facility is not meeting with the 20-day requirement to move children out of detention and to a sponsor. So despite the extremely high rate that is paid to this private corporation that runs this facility of almost $800 a day per child, That's going to be $1.8 million today that this facility receives in federal tax dollars. They are still not making the standard that is required under the Flores decision
and
of 20 days.
Congresswoman Catherine Clark, did the company confirm for you that they are not meeting that 20-day mark?
They did. They say they are now averaging, and averages, as we all know, can be tricky things, but
yeah.
They are averaging 26 days. So I think that is their best way to present the data. And but they admitted that as recently as December, they were more in the 90-day range for detention.
So they're not hitting yet, but it is an improvement over where they were 6 months ago, say.
It is an improvement. But as you look at the amount of money that's going into that, which is, you know, almost three times what other typical facilities are being paid, and the fact that John Kelly is sitting on the board of directors, who was part of the architect of this system that is failing our children, that is failing migrants, and is failing the American taxpayer. It is breathtaking to me that he sits on the board of directors after serving as Secretary of Homeland Security and then Chief of Staff to the President, and was part of creating this system of detaining children.
Listeners,
and I can tell you...
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
One of the most heartbreaking things we heard today was a graph of children who will be turning 18 within the next 2 weeks. When that occurs, then ICE is notified. And those children, we had it confirmed here today, because of the crime of turning 18, are removed from this facility in shackles to an ICE detention center. Three of them. That will happen to tomorrow.
Representative, the company confirmed for you that they will be moving children who turn 18 to another facility in shackles.
That's right.
That is striking. How hard was it for you, Congresswoman Catherine Clark, to get access to the Homestead facility? And I'm wondering, because we saw a whole host of Democratic presidential candidates try to visit the facility last week around the debates, and they weren't allowed in, and they actually had to stand on ladders outside to get a view in to the children.
This trip has been arranged with lots of notice to them through Congresswoman Frederica Wilson, who is part of the Florida delegation. So we did have access. We were able to go to many of the buildings, but it also felt like a very curated tour, that we were seeing things in the best possible light. I'm the mom of three teenage boys. I have never seen any teenage boys, never mind 12 to a room, have the beds made absolutely perfectly. You know, it was those sort of details that just seemed out of place for the lives of children. This is a place of high discipline, and we're going to be judged on how we're treating these children and these families, and history is not going to look favorably on how we are failing the kids that I've seen today.
Congresswoman, speaking of history, there was a surge in unaccompanied minors coming from Central America back in 2014, and there were some pretty serious complaints then about the conditions they were held in, including people being held in wire cages, sleeping on concrete floors. It does feel that this issue is getting more attention now than it did 5 years ago. So what, if anything, is different?
I think the difference we have here is an administration who is trying to use the separation of families, terrible conditions for children and other migrants, to discourage immigration. And that is a cold and callous, very calculated policy change. These are not easy issues. Nothing about our immigration system is easy to fix, to reform, and to make it work well. But we have to start with seeing the common humanity in each other, seeing these children as all of our children. If we don't start from that place, we end up with an administration's policies like this that prize the separation, that develop callous attitudes and dehumanize these children and these families. It is not a crime to be a child. It is not a crime to seek asylum. And we have to stop treating these families as such.
The House passed a bipartisan Senate bill last week allocating about $4.5 billion in supplemental border funding. Progressive Democrats initially fought it. They wanted stronger accountability standards from the administration, but those proposals didn't make it to the final version because moderates opposed them. That seemed to really expose a divide in the party. It was striking. California Congresswoman Norma Torres blamed, quote, Trump Democrats for giving the president a blank check on NPR this morning. What is your reaction to that?
We know exactly where the problem is. This is with this administration, with their immigration policies, with their callousness and cruelty towards migrant children and families, and with a Republican leadership in the Senate that's willing to go along with it. Mitch McConnell did not give the House bill its due. That House bill was widely supported by all Democrats in the caucus except for four. And that is because we understand that it's important to have kids' vital signs checked when they come into custody. It is important that they get reunited as quickly as possible. And it is a failed and cruel policy to try and discourage immigration through the abuse of children. And so we know exactly who's to blame for this situation. There is an influx of unaccompanied children coming into this country. But we in this country, with our resources and our values, have to be able to do better. We owe it to these families and these children.
Congresswoman.
And with that, I'm really going to have to step away. I can take one more question.
So quickly, Democrats controlled Congress and the White House in 2009 and 2010. Why didn't immigration reform pass back then?
You know, I can't speak to that. I often look back on that Senate bill and wish that we had been able to. I wasn't in Congress then, but, you know, I hope that if anything, this administration and their policies have galvanized us to see that who we are as a country will be judged by how we treat these children. And we have to do better by these kids and by these families. And so I think that we are reaching a point where I think that people understand how linked to who we are as a country, our economy, having a rational, sound system of immigration is, and we are committed to working towards it.
That's Massachusetts.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Massachusetts Congresswoman and House Democratic Caucus Vice Chair Catherine Clark. Coming up, we're going to take your calls on U.S. immigration policy at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also going to look ahead to the legal challenge being brought against DACA and the arguments that the Supreme Court will hear next term. I'm Tisiana Deering. This is Radio Boston.